Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, December 18th, 2025. We are officially 1 week away from Christmas, 2 weeks away from the new year that will be 2026. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, to be found and heard not only on thechairshot.com, but all your favorite podcasting platforms. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard DJ, trying to keep this ship in the water tonight. Going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show each and every week, starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He is Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back and destined one day to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how's your week, man?
It's wonderful, but you know, Captain, it counts as still being in the water if we capsize.
This is true. This is true. So, I'm trying to keep our heads above water, though.
There we go. That's all we could ask for.
And last but never, ever, ever least, the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He's the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Robert, sir, got a question for you.
Yes.
Are you going to be a recipient of Trump's latest executive order giving people Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas off?
I believe so. It's for the whole federal government, correct?
It is, but I don't think I'm going to fall under that banner because we're medical.
Okay.
I'll find out because this literally came through late last night after my supervisor was gone. So we have a morning huddle at about 7:05. If it affects us, I'll find out in about 11 hours.
The king of business efficiency. Suddenly it's a fucking holiday, guys. Yeah, oh my God.
He did this for the federal government.
Just the art of the deal. Are you freaking kidding me, man?
He did this during his last term as well.
Yeah, and how many actually got it off? Exactly, because they couldn't. Executive order, it doesn't actually have to be followed and whatnot, because a lot of this stuff is congressionally mandated.
It's all their performative bullshit,
and okay, I can't believe we even just gave it any airtime. Okay, anyway.
So me being the veteran federal employee here, yes, the president can do that, because previous presidents have used their discretion to give us one of those days off. Because basically, the 22nd on a Friday. Ain't nobody coming in.
Yeah. Dude, like three quarters of my entire staff is out next week.
I mean, ain't nobody coming in.
Good. Enjoy the vacation day. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Right.
All right. We're not. But anyway, Rob, welcome to the show, sir. Sorry to rattle Jason's cage, but welcome to the show. All right, we're not here to talk about that. Days off, Christmas, holidays, all about that. We are a wrestling podcast. We got a bit of wrestling and a bit of fun to have here tonight. We talked about John Cena's final match last week. We are going to touch on that just a little bit more this week. But what we didn't talk about, if you listened to us last week, we recorded immediately after Saturday night's main event to get our reactions to John Cena's final match and the aftermath of all that. We did not talk about Saturday night's main event as a whole. And we wanted to dedicate enough time to that because, one, and I'm right off the rip, I'm going to tell you, I thought the show was very good. I thought of all the Saturday Night Main events they've done this year, this one was the best. I thought they showcased the up-and-coming NXT talent brilliantly. Some of the storylines that they furthered along were really, really good. We got the birth of a tremendous killer heel and the arrival of Obafemi. So let's start there. Jason, I'm going to go to you. First of all, just general vibe of the show. Did you enjoy it? Did you think it was okay? Where did you fall on that?
So I agree with you. I think it's one of the better Saturday night's main events since they've started putting these things back on, man. Since the modern era of Saturday night's main event, this was one of the best. And it wasn't just because of John Cena. It was because of John Cena's established objective, or at least what he says is the established objective, which was he did not want it to be the John Cena show. However, if, you know, he is main eventing that show, he would like that show to be a showcase of the future of AEW, WWE, because, you know, that's what he's been doing these past 20 something years. Is trying to build the future and send this thing into the stratosphere in the next 100 years and whatnot. And I think they did that part in spades, man. Everybody else on the show could, like all the other newish NXT people, newish main roster people could have fallen flat on their faces. They did not. Everyone was awesome, but they could have. And as long as Obafemi did what he did, that show's a rousing success. Because that guy, A, fucking arrived. The whole crowd was doing his, like, entrance. He did never once. He is across the room, then the ring, from Cody By God Rhodes, the undisputed WWE champion. And not once did Obafemi look less than. Like, that guy is an absolute freaking rock star. So that was my first impression, is Obafemi, man. I mean, he's okay. Arrived.
All right, Rob, how about you? General vibe of the show. Where'd you fall?
I agree. Like, out of all the Saturday Night's main events, because the previous Saturday Night's main event all had at least one match where I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. Okay. This one, like, every match was... Every match had something that made it interesting. You know, and it wasn't just, so I wouldn't call any of these matches filler matches. You know, again, on some of the other Saturday Night's main events, there was at least one match where I was just like, okay, sure.
Of the other ones at least had one match that was just like, all right, this could have been on main event, like when it was on the network.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I thought that, with the NXT folks, they picked the right ones to put on the show. And because that matters, because you put the wrong ones on the show, then, you know, then the people who don't normally watch NXT will see that and be like, oh, really? These are the new people? Yeah. You know, so, you know, they picked the right ones. And as ridiculous as some people were for one over for me, expecting over for me to win. I will say this, like the way he looked both Friday and Saturday, if he had come in there and won the damn title, I don't think anybody would have been upset.
Okay. So, like, I was in that camp, Rob, and, like, I was like, he's not going to win. He's not going to win. He's not going to win. He doesn't need to win. He doesn't need to win. He's not going to win. He's not going to win. Halfway through the match, I was like, he could win. He got me there. He and Cody, to be fair, he and Cody got me there. I was like, he can win this thing.
I give him because I think in one of the Facebook groups I'm in, somebody was saying, well, they should have had him win. And my thing was, if you're going to have him win, then you might as well just have him win the title.
He might as well, I completely agree. He might as well win the title and we just rocket ship this thing.
If he's going to
pin Cody Rhodes in the middle of the ring on the, like, during Saturday night's main event with no, you know, trickery or anything like that, just straight up choke slam pin, 1, 2, 3, might as well win the belt.
Yeah, you put the belt on him and then have him, and he's on the main roster.
And that is exactly why you don't do it. Not right. Saturday night.
Exactly why he lost.
For all you motherfuckers who were screaming on Twitter, oh, Oba should win, put over the new guy, to what end? You're taking money out of the bag. Do you not understand what that means? There is a date with destiny for Oba Femi and anybody, and either the World Heavyweight Championship or the Undisputed Championship, whether it's Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker, Gunther, whoever the champ is, the dude has a date with destiny. He is signed, sealed, and delivered main event star. You do not do that on his debut match on Saturday night's main event. You are taking money out of the bag.
And also, okay? You can't have him beat Cody and then he's got to go back to NXT and drop the NXT belt sometime.
Right, right. That's just stupid.
And also, I'm sorry, that gold belt is on a whole different plane than the WWE Championship. Because that undisputed WWE Championship was held by Roman Reigns for 1,316 days, Cody Rhodes, John Cena for title 17, and Cody Rhodes, who beat John Cena for 17.
Yeah.
That's the fucking, like,
that's
like
the juice that lineage.
That's the juice that that belt has. And as much as I love Oba, and even in the moment, I was like, they have structured this match and they have succeeded in such a way that I would believe Oba Femi could win this. Even in that moment, I would tell you, no, that's way too much. Like, that's his first victory doesn't need to be like beating the Nazis and beating Japan in one day.
But that's the beauty of pro wrestling. They made us look, because I'll be honest with the both of you, if they had done it, I wouldn't be mad.
I understand that.
But in that moment, I was with you guys. I was like, yeah, I could see a scenario where Oba can win this. It's not what I want. It's not what I think should happen. It's not what I think is going to happen. But if it did happen, I'd be like, okay, I dig it. And I'm with it because the guy is good. But that's the beauty of pro wrestling. And that's the beauty of 2-1. Master in Cody Rhodes, and I'll go ahead and say it, and Oba, an up-and-coming, incredibly gifted talent who just gets it and just gets the nuance of the storytelling. And the story is, I think Oba can do it. And we all believed. We all believed for, I think that match was what, somewhere between 8 and 10 minutes? I didn't look at the timestamp on it. But still, we just, he belonged. He looked like he belonged.
And we need to believe for the next time.
Right.
We need to believe. We already have that belief. This is just like short term, with any time with the face champion doesn't beat the heel champion in the first match, but then he gets him in the second one. It's
Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns.
Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. There you go. Yeah. That's it. Like, and it's seriously, even if he doesn't win the belt, even if he just goes back to NXT champion, like, he pinned Cody Rhodes. Like, what's his next carrot? What's his next, like, thing?
And where do you go from the top? Like, seriously, where do you go from the top?
Exactly. And you're already putting him on the top. So it was smart of them to resist, I'm sure, the very strong temptation to just put that dude over.
Yeah.
But at that point, it just becomes a moment. And it's okay, a moment, but it's a bigger moment when he finally does. Like, I will defend to the death that Cody losing to Roman the first time was the best beat in that entire story.
Okay, look,
it really was.
It solved 50 different problems and made the end of that story 10 times better.
That, absolutely.
Because, I think I said it at the time. I'll say it again. Cody and Roman didn't have any personal history before that.
Exactly.
I mean, their history was going back to the Shield, but as far as this Cody versus this Roman,
the American Nightmare doesn't have anything to do with the tribal chief.
Tribal chief, right?
Exactly. And they had no history.
Dashing and the Big Dog have history, but forget that.
Yeah, exactly. So they had no history, and when you're trying to make like the biggest match of all time, you need history between people.
Yeah.
It's like Hogan and Andre had history. Okay. Hogan the Savage had history. You know, Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes had history. You know,
and I'm sorry, even if you didn't understand, like, if you were still questioning it after Cody's promo to Roman, where they basically told us, hey, we'll see you next year at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't get it after that promo, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and, you know, and just, you know, the biggest matches ever are better when the people have history.
Yep.
Because, yeah. I mean, because again, it's story, you know, and so.
So now you actually are going to have two stories, like, kind of, and you can build on. If Cody is no longer the champion when, you know, Oba comes up, you'll have a thing with him and Oba, you know, built in, and you'll have a reason for him to go to the WWE, you know, championship. Like, I almost had the WWE champion.
Yeah.
There you go. And he's got history. Instead of, remember 5 years ago when we would just randomly call people up because we didn't have shit for them to do in NXT, and lo and behold, we don't have any shit for them to do in the main roster either. And they just sat around and they had 5 minute matches and 10 minute matches against Sin Cara and random bullshit.
And then
got released. What we want Oba to do? And then got released? That what we want for Oba?
No.
No.
It makes me think of, boxing thing, because Antonio Tarver beat Roy Jones. The first time, I think Roy escaped on some technicality, and they had the second match, and when the referee was asking if they had any questions, Tarver, that's that video when he said, what's your excuse for me this time, Roy? And then she didn't knock Roy out. You could do that with Oba and Cody. Oba could just say, well, what are you going to, you know, how you going to say, Drew's not going to come in here to bail you out this time.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
And it was smart to have Drew come in. That was,
the best way to end that. I don't want to linger on
Oba. And Oba also, can we not, let's not bury the lead. No matter what happened with the match, with the titles, with the whatever, Oba Femi stood tall at the end of that match.
Yes. Yeah.
Not Cody Rhodes, not Drew McIntyre, Oba Femi.
Yep.
So, mission accomplished, man.
Yeah. No, they know what they got on their hands, and they presented him expertly. Moving on, I want to talk about some of the other NXT talent because everybody looked like stars. I want to move on to Javon Evans and Lee. What?
Well, hang on. I wanted to flip it because I also want to talk about Bayley and Soruka, which was kind of the opposite of that situation.
All right. Go ahead.
Because I'm like – because – Bayley, like, obviously it wasn't for a title or anything like that, but Soul going over is pretty huge.
That's a big deal.
Bayley is a Grand Slam, like, WWE Women's Champion. Bayley is no slouch. Like, Bayley and is beloved by everyone. Like, and so I kind of do look at it in a similar vein. Obviously, it was not champion versus champion. And Sol's never been the women's NXT champion, I don't believe. No. She was North American, exactly. So it's not apples to apples, but so how do you guys feel about Sol going over in that versus, you know, Oba not going over?
Okay. So the NXT people had to win something. They had to
agreed.
They had to win one of those matches.
Yes.
And look, I think from a technical standpoint, I think Bayley was exactly the right person to put in there with her.
Yes, the match was fun.
Because with, you know, with Soul's offense, you need somebody who is technically sound that's going to be in the right place for her to do all of her stuff.
Yeah, Bailey's timing is impeccable. But also, yeah, Sol Ruka.
But you need to be quick too, and Bailey is that, obviously.
Yeah, and you also need somebody who's going to, you know, let Sol do all of her stuff also. Because, you know, I can think of one person who would not let her do all of her stuff, and that is the 14-time women's champion.
I disagree. I think Charlotte would do business. I really do.
Oh, no, I'm not saying she would.
Specifically this version of Charlotte.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. No, I'm not Charlotte 5 years ago.
Oh, fuck no.
Charlotte and Bailey are entering their... Now, mind you, they've still got gas in the tank. I'm not saying they're transitioning into part-timers here. But they are entering into their mentoring the next generation of women era. Bailey a little more so than Charlotte. They told the grand story with Bailey at WrestleMania 2 years ago. So I think while there's still plenty of mileage left on Bailey and plenty of story left to tell, I think right now she's entered a new phase in her career. I absolutely think Charlotte, to a slightly lesser degree, would be one to work with Sol and let her get some of her stuff in. And again, like Bailey, Charlotte is another one who has impeccable timing. She's where she needs to be at all times, and she knows what move is coming and where to be to take it. And that's key for wrestling someone like a Sol Ruka, because her offense is so it's so based in your opponent being where they need to be when they need to be there.
Well, I mean, no, I don't think Charlotte would be. She wouldn't be like an asshole about it.
No. She wouldn't sandbag her on anything.
But her, part of her ring style is kind of established.
Come take it.
Is establishing dominance and being, you know, yes, and all of that. And
I'm not just going to give it to you. You got to come and take it.
And I don't know if Sol is ready for that in a 1-on-1 match yet.
She might not be.
Well, I mean, Tiffany wasn't. So Bailey was the perfect opponent for her because Bailey, yeah, you know, was, and, you know, yeah, I guess again, the NXT people had to win something. Out of the options that they had, this was the best one to have them win this one. And also, you know, there were some people on the timeline who were like, well, is Zarya going to turn on Sol here? It's like, no, you don't do that here, because most of the people watching have no idea what's going on between them. You know, the whole, you know, Sol, Zarya thing, like most of the people watching that night don't know anything about that. So,
yeah, that's an NXT storyline.
Yeah, that would be really dumb to do that angle there, so I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, Sol was great, and I have zero problem with her going over here. And again, of the three NXT talents, three NXT and one TNA talent that were spotlighted Saturday night, this match with someone going over made the most sense because it was – while it was an important match and a big match because, you know, Bailey is a main event level player, it wasn't for anything other than bragging rights. Like the previous match was, you know, the undisputed face of the company, Cody Rhodes. And in the next match we're going to talk about, it was the tag team champions, AJ Styles and, you know, Dragon Lee. And, you know, one half of that tag team, and we'll get into that in a minute as to why, you know, while the match was awesome, there was no way they were winning. Yeah, Sol Ruka she's going to be incredible. She lights up your TV. Incredible to watch, dynamic to watch. And I want to point out something that Maddie, one of our friends in our chat, I think she was the one that brought this point up. Sol Ruka missed an entire year with a leg, I think a knee injury.
Yeah, she blew her knee out, yeah.
She blew her knee out. She missed an entire year, and she is this far along. She has lapped some of her contemporaries and people who have been there the whole time. And that's not an insult to them. That's a credit to how quick she picks this up. And it's just she's so much fun to watch. Like, she really is.
Yeah, you can tell there's a genuine joy in everything she does. And, like, the again, her character – she fleshed it out a little bit. The Avatar of California. So she's great, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So Next up, and I was going to talk about these guys. And like I said, we said we weren't going to go match by match, but I want to talk more about the talent. Javon Evans and Leon Slater. Leon Slater, obviously the TNA X Division champion, and Javon Evans, just NXT breakout star of the year, probably my breakout wrestler of the year. If you had to ask me today who my breakout wrestler of 2025 is, it's probably Javon Evans. Just incredible showing. And it wasn't a long match. It was a quick exhibition, if I can say the word, English DJ. quick exhibition of everybody. And I got to say this off the rip, and I know we're talking about the NXT people. I have turned such a corner on Dragon Lee. Like, and if you listen to this show over the last year or so, you know I've been rather critical of Dragon Lee and how I feel about the way he wrestles and how he looks on TV and who and what I think he is. I can safely say I have turned the corner on the pal. I really have. When he's on TV, I watch. I enjoy watching him. I think this run with AJ Styles has been incredible. It's done wonders for him in separating him from being, as Rob would say, Rey Mysterio cosplay. Like, now I see Dragon Lee. I don't see Rey Mysterio the fourth.
He's not Luchador number four.
Right. You know, that's not what I see anymore. I see Dragon Lee, and I'm so thankful for that. And and kudos to them for sticking with him, because if you'd asked me a year ago, I'd have told you, I think Dragon Lee's name is on a list somewhere. And, you know, here we are a year later. They're still – the guy's a tag team champion with AJ Styles and having an incredible run right now and having incredible matches with up-and-coming talent like Javon Evans and Leon Slater. Let me ask you guys this. Do you think – because obviously with Javon Evans – or not Javon Evans, Leon Slater being TNA and WWE heavily courting him right now, he still has options when his TNA deal runs up. Do you think he transitions right over to NXT or WWE main roster, or do you think he'll explore his options and maybe at least open the phone line to AEW? Because there's a scenario where I could see that happening with him.
Hey, man, no. But like, I know what I would want to happen for my weekly entertainment, like Jason. Like,
yes.
What I would prefer. But if I'm Javon Evans, oh, no, buddy. I am letting my contract expire. I am letting people call me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true anymore. I would imagine the purse strings have been a little tighter, but we've seen in the past, you know, hey, they gave me a shit ton of money, so I went over to AEW, and all of a sudden I'm not on TV in a year. Like, we've seen, I don't think that's going to be the case going forward. So, I just listen to all offers if I'm him. Like, no, dude, you're lighting the world on fire.
What about you, Rob? Leon Slater, what do you think he's going to do? Okay. You think he's going to explore options or just go straight over?
He should, because he's – look, if you're going to have options, you should explore options. You should never give one person, you know, all the marbles, okay?
Right.
Because for those of y'all who don't know, I mean, he and Ospreay are – buddies, or they know each other really well or something, or he works in the UK, I think, for...
Well, he's British, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from the UK, so he's
okay, that's what I thought. He's from the UK.
So, and look, I mean, Ospreay pretty much is a phone call away from any good wrestler who works over there, okay, at this point, you know. So he's definitely going to get an offer for sure. And you should listen. If your contract is up, and it's good business. You you take every phone call.
Yeah.
If you got Tony on one line and Hunter on the other, yes, you take both calls and you listen to both of them.
Yeah.
You do not hang up on, you do not take one call without listening to the other one. That's bad business. Okay. It is. And
again, you're leaving money on the table, pal.
And look at it this way also. Like, WWE is going to be able to make you a more complete offer, because they're going to be like, hey, dude, you've been in our buildings. You know how we treat you already. You know what we are about. We know this operation. Hey, we can tell you that we'll do this, this, and this with you. You know, whether you believe it or not, or whether that plans change, pal, is one thing. But you still, like, if you're WWE, you already have the inroad. So I feel like you just almost be like, yeah, Go talk to Tony. Go talk to the guy who signs people for big money and then puts them on Ring of Honor. Go for it, man. Like, I just, at that point, it's a put it on the table situation.
The other thing is, he's only 21. So, shit, even if he goes and signs a 3 to 5 year deal with AEW, the kid is not even going to be 30 when that deal is up.
Yes.
And so there'll be plenty of room for him and a home for him in WWE if he decides to go and take a side road.
And so put it, I think he will be in WWE one day.
Yes. Yes.
So it's just a matter of, does it happen sooner or later? But if I'm him, you listen. If you know you're going to have offers from both sides, you listen to both sides.
Yeah. Okay?
It's bad business to not listen to both sides. Okay. It is. Just, I mean, look, we would all prefer him to just come on over and, you know, to stay where he is. And look, don't think that they put him on the show Saturday for a reason.
Yeah.
Look, that's what I'm saying, dude. They're clearly courting him.
It was a recruiting trip. That was when, you know, when they bring you on campus and they let you see all the pretty girls walking around the campus.
He got to be on John Cena's last show. This isn't even like, hey, come on a pay-per-view. This is like huge.
Exactly. That was not by accident. That was not like, well,
shit, they probably told him, hey, John really wants you on the show.
Yeah.
So when that contract's up and you're like, oh man, John Cena really wanted me on that show.
Yeah. Hey. And so it's, he's been wanting to wrestle AJ because of the whole X division history and all that. So he's been wanting to wrestle AJ anyway. So they showed him, they wrote everything for him Saturday. They say, see, come here and you could have all of this.
Right? You can get what you want here, pal.
but again, it's, you know, it's.
I want to tell you, I mean, obviously I'm not him, and maybe he wants to go wrestle Ospreay, and maybe he wants to do this, maybe he wants to do that. He might have a bucket list of things he'd want to do over there. Great. God bless. Go do it. I would just say, like, from my 10,000 feet view, if the offers are at all comparable, I would stick with, you know, the girl who got you to the dance and TNA and AEW. Or AEW. Why am I doing that? TNA.
AEW kick tonight, buddy.
But I'm pulling numbers out of my pants. If WWE offers you $5 million and Tony offers you $10 million for 3 years each, yeah, go to AEW, man.
Yeah. So, incredible night for the NXT talent. Incredible show overall. We want to do one more quick thing, and I don't want to go long here. I don't want to go deep because we dedicated an entire episode of this last week. We've had 5 days to sleep on it. I know how I feel about the situation. Jason has been very vocal about how he feels about the situation. I have some final words on John Cena's final match. But, Rob, you are the holdout. You were the holdout last week. You have been the holdout for several days. Where are you at now? Have you had time to digest it, think about it, process it, and you changed your mind?
And let's also set the stage for the viewers today, like the listeners. Like, John's interview with Cody after the match was posted today, and he equated it all to, like, passing away in your sleep. At the end of your, like, life. Like, that was the long analogy for his wrestling career. So, like, he's put it in amazing perspective. We're a few days removed. Rob, how are you feeling?
Okay. So, look, I have read many intellectual arguments and philosophical arguments about why it was the right thing to do and all of that type of stuff. I don't care.
He's still shit-talking it.
I just want to be specific for the listeners. Are you still he should not have lost, period? Or are you more upset that he tapped out? Like, if he would have been pinned, would you have been less upset?
Yes. It's
okay. It's the tap out that does it for you.
Now allow me to explain because.
Okay, no, that's fine. I just wanted to get it in perspective.
Yes, because, if this was any other character in any other medium, And if in their last act, they did something that was the antithesis to what they had done their entire existence on the show or movie series or whatever. Okay. People would have been pissed. Look at the last season of Game of Thrones. People are still mad about that. And because for a lot of people, they fucked every character over in the last season. All right. By doing stuff that was not them.
I'm going to put a shameless plug in here about the Game of Thrones. Myself, the lawyer Dave Ungar, and one PC Tunney have a short podcast series called Game Gone Wrong, where we discuss the final season of the original Game of Thrones series. You can hear our thoughts on every single episode and our thoughts on the finale and how that whole thing wrapped up there on thechairshot.com, where we cover you from pro wrestling to sports entertainment. We've got it all there. Thechairshot.com. Go listen to that. It's, like I said, it's Game Gone Wrong. I think you'll enjoy that one if you're a Game of Thrones fan. And if you want to hear more about what Rob's talking about. Rob, I'm sorry. Go ahead and continue.
So, look, anyway. All right, look, I'm trying to do this quick. Cena is not another guy on the show. He's not another wrestler. He is a pop cultural phenomenon. Okay, so the people that paid money to sit in that arena Saturday, they came to see him do what he does one more time. They did not come to see him tap out, okay? Most of the people watching the show were not watching to see him tap out, okay? This is the last time. This is the farewell performance. This is the last roundup, the last adventure, and you die the way you lived, okay? He is not just another wrestler on the show, okay? And you have people who are only there to see him do what he does one more time. This is a different, unique, special thing. And look, you don't always have to give the audience what you want. It's pro wrestling. Sometimes you have to not give for the sake of story or whatever. But this is one time. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you just need to give them what they want. And nobody wanted him. Nobody came in there wanting him to tap out. Whether you thought it was a good ending or not, nobody came in there asking for that. So it's the last chapter. It's the final one. You're not getting another one. There's no redemption. There's no retribution. Nobody's coming to avenge him. So no, you don't have him go out like that. No. And I'll even say this. They could have done that angle. If he could have fought Gunther earlier in the year. And and Gunther could have made him tap out earlier in the year, and then his last match could be getting redemption for that. Okay. So you could be, but since you didn't do that, since this is the end, no, you ended the way,
All right.
People came and see let me
piggyback on that, Rob, because I've got some thoughts about that. And that's actually very poignant. And I agree with what you're saying. But the fact that it didn't end that way, the fact that Gunther didn't let us have that in story, he took that away from us. He took that ending away from us. We have now been, and this is my theory, and this is after about 48 hours of processing it, John tapping out, losing the way he did, was not about him. It was not about Gunther. It's about the guy who eventually beats Gunther. And if you look at what they teased on Raw, AJ Styles is next. Gunther is about to go on a retirement run, a legend killer run. He is about to put a lot of people out of work in a very short period of time. AJ Styles is due up in 2026. Brock Lesnar probably doesn't have much time left on the clock. Who knows how much time Randy Orton's got. Sheamus probably only has a very short. There is a list of guys closer to the end of their career than the beginning that you could line up for Gunther to send out to pasture. And the story becomes not Gunther beating John Cena, but Gunther beating everybody. And how big of a rub is it for the person who finally takes that animal down? This guy has retired Goldberg, John Cena, potentially AJ Styles. I'm just going to throw names out there. Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, Sheamus, any number of guys who are in that.
R-Truth is on the list.
Yeah, R-Truth. Just a list of beloved names that he is going to retire over the next 2 years. And as we talk about up and coming, could you imagine this? How huge would this be? Gunther has retired half a dozen outgoing legends. We get to WrestleMania in 2027, 2028. Gunther is the undisputed WWE champion, and Royal Rumble winner Obafemi is standing across the ring from him in the main event in WrestleMania. How huge of a fucking moment is that for Obafemi? Yeah, and I'm just saying Obafemi
and
because,
for Gunther.
And for Gunther. But Obafemi suddenly is going to be the guy that beats the guy who killed all of our favorites.
I was going to say, absolutely, along the way of this retirement tour, Sheamus, or, and again, we're just pulling names out of hats that, based on their age and tenure, if they just said, hey, you know what, this year's my last year, I would not be shocked. That's all we're saying about anybody.
Right.
So, and aside from AJ, who said, I'm almost done. But anyway, he retires this guy, retires that guy, and along the way, Sheamus becomes WWE champion, and then he retires Sheamus. And then he's WWE champion, and he carries that thing all the way to WrestleMania. And there you go. And so now you have the biggest thing to ever big, you know, as the grand prize in the main event of WrestleMania ever again.
My point here being is John Cena a lot, because he's been very polarizing. And one of the most polarizing things that had been the problem that a lot of people had with him was the Super Cena never puts anybody over, which is bullshit. You know, and for a time, there was a block of time where if you beat John Cena at something, John came and got that lick back, you know, in the rematch. And then there were times where he just was steamrolling everybody. He went 3-0 against Rusev in the U.S. Championship Series. There's just a list of people who never really beat John Cena. So a lot of the argument from a lot of the people, and then, of course, there's the infamous Nexus story where John Cena buried Nexus and backstage politic to beat Nexus at the pay-per-view and all the whatever bullshit. So there's all that. And then in his final act, he pays it forward to whoever the next guy is going to be, whether it's Obafemi, whether it's Trick Williams, whether it's Javon Evans, whether it's somebody we haven't even laid eyes on yet. He has paid it forward in the ultimate way. And I think that's my takeaway from what happened on Saturday night. And that's why ultimately, while in the moment, if you had to put a gun to my head and say, Deej, what would you have done? John Cena would have won that match. But looking at it realistically, that I'm okay. I'm at peace with how it ended, and I applaud him. And I applaud WWE for having the courage to do it, because John Cena winning is the easy way out. It's very nice. It's very neat. It's very tidy. Again, you give the fans what you want. You send them home happy. It's not risky. And one of the things that we have often criticized Hunter about is not booking risky. Like, it seems like sometimes he books safe. And this was the most unsafe thing he could have possibly booked. And to be quite honest with the both of you, I applaud him for it.
I don't. I think this was the time. This was the time to be safe. Okay.
But it was John's decision.
Well, then sometimes the actor's wrong. Harrison Ford wanted to get killed off. I said that the other night. He wanted.
He ultimately got what he wanted.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say.
J.J. Anders bent over and said, sure, why not, pal?
Yeah, he got it 30 years later. No, I mean, but when it mattered the most,
he went out the most chump way possible. He fucking tapped out. He knew his son was going to kill him, and he smiled and tapped out.
No, he didn't. Shut up. He believed in love.
That shit was whack, too, okay? All right. But listen, okay. Look, I'm not going to be writing it. I'm not going to be, you know, firing off angry comments for the rest of the next 20 years or anything like that, okay? But I'm sticking.
Look, you're not canceling the ESPN, cock?
No. Well,
no.
No, I'm not doing. I mean, but look, for me, again, this is the final chapter. Look, if they had made a movie, The Last Adventure of Luke Skywalker, and if
they did.
Ron is stressing out. Again, J.J. Abrams.
Holy shit!
Well, because look here. All right, so halfway
he's scrambling now.
No, excuse me. Halfway through that movie, Luke did some shit that was uncharacteristic. The guy who always rushes in to save his friends said, fuck this shit, I'm out of here. He did that halfway through the movie. At the end of the movie,
you know what? This is perfect because you're right. Under the old Booker, George Lucas, Vince McMahon.
Excuse me.
You know what? He probably would have. John would have won. Thankfully, we have someone who has perspective on the characters and is a few.
Jason, let Rob finish. Let him finish.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Halfway through the movie, he did something uncharacteristic. He said, fuck this shit, I'm done. And which is the opposite of what Luke Skywalker ever does. At the end of the movie, in the climactic scene, he came back and he delivered for his friends. He went out the way that he lived at the end.
True.
Okay,
I'll give you that one.
So if you're going to do the uncharacteristic thing, you don't do it at the end. You do it earlier so that they can redeem themselves and they can go out the way that they've always lived. That's how you do it with those type of characters in any medium. You don't get clever and philosophical about this shit.
Okay? But he forced ghosted himself in. He should have left the island and flown in.
That's also not quite. It's not quite the same when it comes to wrestling. It's not quite the same when it comes to live entertainment with the ongoing story that goes 365 52 weeks a year until the end of time.
Okay, well,
you have to have new characters every 4 years. It's a little bit different.
Well, and I'll say, John Cena's different.
True.
Look, there are only two guys.
I'm not ultimately telling you, dude, if he had won, I would have been just like, all right, cool. At the end of the day, yes. So, probably I'm 60-40. He probably should have just won. But as I keep saying, if the decision was for him to lose, the guy he lost it to and the way he lost it was absolutely incredible.
And you die the way you lived. When you're somebody like him, you die the way you live.
I just don't he's not tapping out. He's not giving up. It's the same as getting pinned. If he doesn't kick out of a three, have a three count. Did you say give up? He gave up, Rob. Did he give up? No, he just got beat. And it was the same thing when he tapped out.
Why don't we do this? So we're not changing Rob's mind. We got his final words on that. I don't want to dedicate a whole other episode to the John Cena thing. We've done that. I don't want to beat a dead horse into the ground. We do have one more segment we want to get into. Before we do, I want to go to commercial. I want to invite you, the listeners, as always, to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. You still got 7 days, 5 days by the time this podcast hits the airwaves. You got 5 days to shop. You can get that ordered, get it in, maybe not for Christmas, but definitely for New Year's. Your friends would love a t-shirt. Your family would love a t-shirt. You would love a t-shirt. The starving artists on these shows will thank you if you pick one up. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and when we come back, Rob has a fun little game that we're going to play here.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back again. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We thank you. We appreciate you. We love you for another great year. We're going to play a little game here, thing that Rob came up with later on today to give us an extra little segment on the podcast. We're going to be talking some of the hotter prospects in NXT and what we think their role might be and what their opportunities may be when they finally make it to the main roster. And Rob has compiled a short list. Now, I want to preface this by giving a little disclaimer here. What we're about to talk about is meant to be more analytical. We're looking at this from 10,000 feet, looking at the culture of WWE, the culture of WWE fans, what WWE is putting on television, and the roster of people currently in place. And looking at this analytically, this is not our personal feelings on each individual wrestler, because I think those are two entirely separate conversations. This is going to be more us analytically looking at each talent, thinking about where we think their ceiling might be and what we think they might be capable of doing on the main roster. I'm going to turn it over to Rob so he can explain this a little more thoroughly and start going down the list.
Okay. Also, we include past behavior of WWE in our yes. analysis.
Yeah. So we're kind of playing draft pundit here, you can say, because there are several people who could go up. I mean, they're ready to go in this year or in 2026. Like, they're ready, and some of them definitely will be up there. But where we are projecting where, first of all, like, best case scenario, real, and then what's realistic, again, based on, like Jason said, previous booking behavior, what we know about from watching WWE television, how things are booked, what's realistic for where, you know, for what, where they might end up. And then the last one would be like, What do they need? Like, what are they missing right now? What could be missing that to keep them from being more successful? Because look, nobody's perfect when they get called up there. Everybody has things that they need help with or could get better at or whatever. So the last question is, what do they need when they get
okay. And one thing I want to preface, I like your list because it's not totally obvious people. There's a couple obvious people on there, but you did pick a couple of outliers that I think are really good. Like, we didn't go with the obvious Obafemi, Trick Williams. Yeah. Obviously, those guys speak for themselves. You picked some good talent here where we really have to objectively think about it just a little bit more. So I think we can rapid fire through these.
All right. First up, let me see.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. SpringHill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Okay, so we're going to start with people who were on the show on the Saturday night's main event. Javon Evans. So we'll start with Jason. What would you say is the best case scenario for Javon on main roster?
I mean, it's going to, I don't know. He starts a small routine of HGH, the main event of WrestleMania. Like, that's it, man. I hate to start that high in that, like, WWE honk, but the dude can talk, the dude can move, the dude, you know, is a flippy guy without making it look like he's an asshole. Like, he makes it part of his offense. He's like a Mortal Kombat character. I can't say that enough about him. Those are my favorite types of wrestlers, and he is exactly that. He makes his ridiculous offense look like it's a semi-passable martial art or some semi-passable fighting style. And now that he's figured out, like, how to talk, and I mean really talk, yeah, I mean, sky's the limit for this kid.
All right, DJ, you agree?
Slightly less. And again, I have to remind everybody, this is not my personal feeling. If you ask me, gun to my head, the guy's a main event WrestleMania star. But looking at it again, taking into account past history, the current field, and unfortunately for him, and I'm going to disagree with Jason a little bit, I don't think his promo skills are quite there yet. I think he's going to get there. But also, and this is one area where I will agree with Jason, my boy's got to get on the Ica Pro. And it's going to be very hard for him to put on muscle because he's got those long, lean limbs. And guys like that don't put on a lot of serious bulk. So if anything's going to hold him back, it's going to be his size. He's incredibly tall.
I just want to point out, for both of our sakes, for everything that we just said in weight gain, main event of WrestleMania, whatever, he is 21 years old.
He is. He's got 10 years.
He's going to be a whole new dude in 5 years.
He is. So if you had to ask me right now, like right now as presented, not 5 years from now, not 10 years from now, as presented right now, he's king of the mid-card. With a occasionally drifts up to the main event to challenge for one of those championships. But right now, he's king of the mid-card.
Okay, so I'm going to take that as both your best case and realistic answer.
I would tell you that's my realistic for him right now. Like, that's where he's going to end up.
Okay.
If he puts on 50 to 80 pounds and, you know, hey, all right, and you're right, gets a little bit better on the stick, whew, might be having something.
Okay, so I think your best case scenario, I agree, WrestleMania main event guy. Now, as far as his promos, okay, the thing is, he talks like kids his age. So,
right,
that generation of fans will absolutely love his promos. People like us.
That's a good call, Robin. I didn't think about that. Thank you for bringing that up.
So they will love his promos. People like us, you know, we acknowledge that he can talk, but it ain't going to hit with us the same.
He doesn't talk to us.
You're right. He's not talking. And yeah, exactly. And so, look, there are pros and cons to that. So
I'm the youngest, and I just turned 40, guys. He is 21 years old.
Yeah.
He has not talked to us.
But, I mean, a lot of the 20-something-year-olds there sound just like they're reading a pro wrestling script. So
right. So he sounds like a real person.
So, on the one hand, there's going to be a section of fans that he really connects with the way that he talks. And there are going to be some folks like us just like, okay, well, he's good at it, but, you know,
like, he speaks very well what he's speaking, but he's speaking young person speak.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, so, you know, that's probably going to be a thing, right, where there's going to be some people in our age group who don't, quote, unquote, don't get him, you know what I mean? And as far as the size and the weight, it really helps that he's tall.
Yeah, incredibly tall.
That really helps. Him being a tall guy really helps because he does ultimately need to put on a little bit. But he's 21. Look, when he gets a little bit older and the metabolism starts slowing down, that may take care of itself. It just, you know, it may take 10 years, right?
Yeah. I didn't put on a lot of muscle weight until I was damn near 30.
Yeah. So,
like, seriously, I was almost 30 before I really started to fill out.
Yeah. I was like 26 before I could put on anything. And then I started to put on way too much, but that's another story.
So that may take care of itself, which just may take a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you know, don't.
We actually answered three questions all at once.
Yeah. I think we did it.
Yeah. We did it all. And just so, Javon, you need to put on, you do need to put on some weight. But please don't go on don't be like Swerve and go on the Barry Bonds, okay? We don't want to see your head get bigger, okay?
No, whatever, man. Go get some stuff. You're in Florida. Go down to the Keys. Get some of that bull shark testosterone. Let's go, buddy.
No, look, Swerve is on the rocket fuel right now, okay?
Yeah, that's a shit that makes your head grow.
Yeah, okay. You don't want to do that, okay?
All right, who's next, Rob? Who's next?
Can we talk about that for a second? Swerve has inflated a comical amount in a comically short amount of time.
Yes. I mean,
yeah, okay. I'm not going to comment on it any further than that.
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, he looks good on my comic book cartoon television show. Yep. Good for you, pal. Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's next, Rob?
Okay, so sticking with Sol Ruka. I'll go first this time. Okay, so I think best case scenario, she's right up there with Horsewoman, Rhea Ripley, VO, et cetera. You know, best case scenario. As is, if you ask me, realistic scenario, definitely wins mid-card titles. Definitely challenges for the two top titles, occasionally wins one. But I say as is right now, if she were to win one of the top two titles, right now she's a now what person? Right now.
Okay.
I have nothing to add. You just nailed it. And I would tell you, she's like best case scenario. She's okay, guys. This is when we start to say we are including past history and, you know, WWE and the general environment. When I say WrestleMania main eventer is probably not in the cards. Because that's going to be the tippy top if they ever even do it again.
Yeah.
But aside from that, competing for a women's championship at WrestleMania, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. And she'll do the craziest soul snatcher you've ever seen in your life to win that thing. But I agree. Like if she moved up right now, she'd be a perfectly fine mid-card women's champion, and she can, you know, bop around in on the card until she finds her footing.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is just she needs promo work. She's gonna have to talk.
Yeah, needs time. She needs reps. She is a case study in one of the mantras on this show. Let them cook. Yeah, keep her in NXT. Let her cook.
That's it. As is, she would be a now what world champion on the main roster, but.
Yeah,
if she gets to talk about
mid card champion in the main roster. If she moved up tomorrow,
I think just with her ring style, she would be.
Oh yeah, true. They'd put her in the.
Yeah, that'd be fine. But as far as the top titles, yeah, I think as is, she's a now what champion right now.
There you go. Peach.
Mark, DJ.
God, this was such a tough one. Again, I'm trying to look at this analytically and keep my personal feelings out of the equation. Definitely queen of the mid card as delivered right now. My biggest concern with her is high risk, high reward, high risk for injury. I worry about her future with some of the moves she does are incredible. And I love watching her on my TV. She lights up my TV screen. I also worry we've already talked about one knee injury that kept her out for a year. And with the type of offense that she does, she's going to have to alter her style slightly and tone some of that down for longevity. And she's definitely got to work on the promos, which is what she's been doing. Pairing her with Zarya has really kind of helped her flesh out a character. Whereas before we were just getting Sol Ruka, the wrestler. You know, Sol Ruka going in and doing the moves. And that got better because I was a little on the fence with her year and a half ago when she first came back. I'm like, granted, she's been gone for a year, but what I saw prior to that, I was still on the fence about. She has turned that around. I think in 5 years, much like we said about Javon, we may be dealing with a different woman, both maturity-wise and how she presents herself on TV. But again, as delivered right now, queen of the mid-card, same place as Javon. I'd probably label her exactly where I do with Javon. Queen of the mid-card who occasionally, bless you, who occasionally challenges for a world champion. Top ceiling, she retires with 2 to 4 major women's championships to her name.
Yeah, and honestly, look, I would have her at some point, you know, well, at some point, I would have her work some type of long thing with Charlotte, and Charlotte would teach her all about, you know, when to do the flip off the ropes and when not to.
Right, right.
Yeah. Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, she's going to have to, like, she can't do that every night.
She can't
do all of that stuff every night. At some point, you know, she's going to have to save some of that for bigger matches.
Yeah.
Honestly, just for the pop, it might be worth it to have a second finisher aside from the soul snatcher. Don't give her soul snatcher every night.
Yeah, well, because, when Charlotte was in NXT, she originally, her finisher was to do the natural selection off the top rope, and they told her, you got to land on the mat every time you do that.
Yeah, that's going to wear you out eventually.
Yeah, so that's why she switched up to doing it the way she does now. Second finisher would be great for Saul, because doing that every time is going to wear you out.
It's also, you're in danger of escalation. Because it's like, okay, like, we see you do it every night. Now do it off the top rope. Now do it off this. It's like, so keep it special so you don't feel like you have to escalate it.
Yeah, and then just remind something that Taker said, because later on in his career, when he went up to old school, he always had to be something where his opponent countered it instead of him doing it, instead of him hitting
right.
Because he's for a cutoff spot instead of him hitting the move all the time because people have seen him do it a million times.
All right, who's up next, Rob?
Next. Okay, Ricky Saints. EJ, you go first.
God, again, I got to...
I'll go first. It's a carbon copy of the same thing. Like, could he sneak into a WrestleMania main event? I don't know about a main event. You know, look at age, look at how crowded the field is, and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we're talking about Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, you know, John Moxley eventually, you know, this guy, that guy. You know, it's a crowded field.
Wrestling for
a world title at WrestleMania? Yeah, especially if it's against his best pal, Cody Rhodes. Like,
let me ask you this. He's over 30, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Ricky Saints is like somewhere between 32 and 34. That's what I thought. So he may be coming up sooner than later. So, yeah, he's going to come into the crowded field where the Seths and the Romans and, you know, the guys like that are still jockeying for those top spots. With him, it's going to depend on patience. As delivered, I honestly, guys, just looking at the field, looking at who's coming up, there's way too many people that I would put ahead of him in a WrestleMania main event.
He looks like he's a fucking Roman god. He will be 36 in February.
Okay. So I... World heavyweight champ at some point. I got to stop just short of saying that. And again, that's not a personal thing. If they did it, I'd be like, okay, that's cool as shit because I like the guy. But just looking at WWE historically, again, king of the mid-card.
I think he can also sneak something into because there's really something there for a heel Ricky versus a face Cody.
Yeah, well, and he's got charisma for days. Like, I dig the little walk-up when he does the old school, when he does the strut across the rope and the pose and the whole – I'm bought in. I'm bought in on it. I just don't know, thinking about the larger WWE audience, if they're going to buy in. So maybe as a heel, maybe we're having a different discussion.
Like, there aren't even that many guys who could pass off, like, his – specific act and make it look cool and like not ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he's got something special going on.
I'll close out. The only thing I think he would have to work on is I want to see what he looks like as a heel. And they're teasing that. Like they're heading in that direction. So, you know, he just lost the NXT championship to Obafemi and, you know, they now I want to see what that looks like before I can make a real determination.
Okay, so I think he'll be a great multi-time U.S. or Intercontinental Champion. I think he gets at some point. He gets his. Yeah, he'll get. He's going to get the program. He's going to get to do something with Cody at some point.
Oh yeah.
Cody's going to take care of him. They're going to get it. You know, they're going to get at some point. They're going to do their thing, and you know, maybe he challenges for the world or universal title that way. But yeah, I think he's a. You know, he'll be a great multi-time mid-card champion, and that's not a knock, by it's not a diss or anything, but just. Just thinking where he fits in the landscape of the WWE roster, I think that's kind of where it goes. Well,
I'd also say he is versatile because DJ, he did work heel in AEW, and he's an absolute shitbag. It's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So. All right.
Next up. Okay, and this is kind of a double question here because in this case, you know, this is both together and separately. And it's Fallon Henley and JC Jane. Because I'm assuming when they come up that Lainey will, because she just got there, I'm assuming she's not going to come with them when they come up. If it's anytime soon. So. Okay, I'll go first. All right. If they come together as a tag team, I think, well, it depends on, well, I think both of them, it depends. There's scenarios in which both of them could do really well. And I think there are scenarios in which unfortunately they would not be around very long. They're both very talented. They're both very good at what they do. But I think with both of them, everything's just kind of conditional. If they come up as a tag team right now, they'd be fucked. Okay, because
yeah,
you got Rhea and
EO. Lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, you got Rhea and EO. You still got Charlotte and Alexa. You got Judgment Day. You got Kabuki Warriors. You got Bayley and Lyra. You got Nia and Lash. If they came up with a tag team right now, they'd be fucked. They'd be jobber. If they came up with a tag team maybe a year from now, when some of that stuff cleared out, they'd have a, I think they could have a nice little run as a tag team together. I think.
Yeah, if they come up now, they're Alba Fire and Isla Dawn.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's not good.
Yeah. And also, I think either one of them. Both of them, I think, would be good in the rotation for the mid-card titles. I think, honestly.
If they came up separately, they almost, like, this might be a little bit of a cop-out answer, but they're both, like, heavily dependent on their booking. Put it this way. If they're booked into, like, five-minute, like, shit mid-card matches and whatnot, I don't think that they'll do anything that will impress enough to be like, oh, they suddenly have a following. They suddenly have, you know, whatever. Conversely, you give them the ball and give them something to do, and we've seen it with both of them. Like, hey, you're in a feud with this person, and you are going to take their title. Even if it's a mid-card title, like, give them a carrot. Give them a ball. Give them the ball and tell them to run. They're going to run. So, they're almost entirely dependent on their booking.
Yeah, because if they get a chance in the right lane, I think they both could do well. And it's cliche, but it really just depends on when they get there. What the situation is in the divisions. Now, look, I think either of them would do well in either mid-card division right now. I mean, you could have one of them jump Maxine next week and start a good feud over the Intercontinental title.
Hey, man, can we take a quick side road for Maxine? Like, good for her, man.
Quickly, yeah.
Improvement in the ring, on the mic, and just everything. Like, she's a legit mid-card champion. Like, no, this is not a charity run. This is not an anything. Like, yeah. She's there, man. And like she could, and she's moving upwards. Like I'm just continually impressed by like her matches and everything. So just wanted to give her a
real quick, because I saw something on the timeline Monday night when she had her match with Ivy Nile. Everybody was like, okay, Ivy doesn't have much more experience overall than Maxine does. And a lot of people, because when you think about Maxine in her earlier matches, one could argue, okay, Becky carried her. Okay, we can make that argument. Ivy, much less experienced than Becky does. They gave those women several minutes to go out there and cook. And a lot of times when you send these less seasoned talents out there and you give them more than 5 to 7 minutes, they start to either run out of stuff to do or they look a little lost at about the 8 to 9 minute mark. These girls didn't look that way. Both girls went out there and at the I'd have to pull the timestamp on the match. It felt like it went 9 to 10 minutes. It may have been less.
9:57 according to Cage Match.
Okay, so I was right.
9:57 of cooking.
They cooked, absolutely cooked. It was a great match. I had a ton of fun with it. Nothing but praise for Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri over that match. But yeah, getting back to Fallon Henley and JC Jane. Does anybody else have any thoughts? Because I haven't gone yet.
Oh, good.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you guys, and I hate that. Hate that because bell to bell. Fallon Henley is low-key one of my favorite wrestlers to watch in the ring. And she's one of those ones, you guys have been listening to us for a while, you know that I used to hit the local NXT loop here, and Fallon Henley was a regular. When she was teamed up with the Cowboys, I always called them Brooks and Jensen, but that's a lawn mowing company. But yeah, those two guys. When she was teamed up with them, I watched her develop there, and eventually she was kind of their mouthpiece. She moved into getting in the ring. A lot of fun watching Fallon Henley grow as a performer. I feel like the gimmick's just not there. And I feel like I agree with Jason here. Both her and JC are heavily dependent on what creative gives them to do and what they're able to do with that. And I hope this isn't a situation, because what I'm worried about with both of them is that creative is going to look at them and go, I don't know what to do. I got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and while...
Remember, just for example, guys, remember Roxanne's first couple months?
Yeah.
Just doing nothing?
Yeah.
Just random matches and that's it?
And again, we're talking about...
Did you get hooked up with the Judgment Day?
WWE, historically here, this is WWE who released Shotzi Blackheart, who released Gigi Dolin, and these are two people who I thought would have played well on main roster TV. Like, if you'd had asked me a year ago who I thought were going to be top stars in the women's division in the next 5 years, Shotzi Blackheart and Gigi Dolin were two names that I would have given you because the character, to me, played well on TV. And here we are, you know, a year later, and they're both gone. And I'm not
Shotzi Blackheart is gift wrapped for everything I believe WWE Sports Entertainment stands for.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Like what in the world?
Yeah, that and they let her go. So I worry when you have less than a over-the-top gimmick and neither Jason. Now, JC's got a bit more of the mean girl streak in her. I don't think Fallon plays the mean girl very well. I think she's a natural baby face. I don't dig her as much as a heel. So maybe splitting them up when they get up to the main roster wouldn't be a bad deal. I think Fallon is definitely a solid, hey, we need somebody to make the champion look good, so I need a good wrestler to go out there and wrestle the champion this week. Fallon Henley is that girl. JC Jane can probably, and I'm just going on what I've seen so far, can probably pull off better character work. But again, that's going to be heavily dependent on what, again, like Jason said, what creative gives her and what she's able to do with it. And that's the biggest thing that I worry about with both of these women's ceilings is that, and again, no fault of their own, but creative is just going to look at the both of them and go, we got nothing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's really a matter of, I think timing when they get there is really important.
Yeah.
So here's the hoping that they get called up at the right time and, you know, when the landscape is, you know, is better for them. All right, so I got two more.
All right, let's throw them out there. We got a couple minutes. We can go.
All right,
a couple
all right. So, okay, Tatum Packley. I think, honestly, same thing. Because, look, as much as we thought Shotzi and Gigi were made for the main roster, we kind of feel the same way about Tatum. But the same thing could happen, I think. So a lot of it, again, is...
got to give her something to do. Otherwise, she's not going to catch on at all. She's not going to catch on in these random matches, like just doing nothing. You got to give her something. Give her something, she'll sink her teeth into it.
And, I mean, an easy thing, a really, real easy thing to do would have, Lyra come down there and rescue her from all of this stuff. And and then they go, and they start working together. I think a pretty good entry to the main roster for her. But, yeah, just a lot of it, it just depends. I think she could definitely be a mid-card champion. She could definitely be a tag team champion with Lyra or somebody else. But again, a lot of it just, it depends on how they see her when she gets up there. Right. If they see her as somebody that, that they can really do something with, then I think she has a chance. But I think she is another one that, definitely possible she gets up there and they're just kind of like, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree. I would just add that the right creative person could turn her into a, like you could get to Alexa Bliss-like type, and I'm not saying this just because of the similar characters and their creepiness and whatnot. It's that unknown quantity that she just kind of has, that charisma, she hasn't quite figured out how to tap into it like Alexa has. So, yeah, the right creative person, though, could really run with her.
I'm going to directly compare her to Alexa Bliss because when I see this character, that's exactly what I think. Dialed down to about 7, whereas with Alexa, it's an 11. Two words, gimmick change. I just think this gimmick has been done, at least a variation of it. I think if she gets up to the main roster, because again, I'm looking at this from two perspectives because we have to. What works in NXT doesn't always work on the main roster. We've been saying this for as long as we have been a podcast and as long as we've been analyzing this stuff. That gimmick works fantastic in front of the NXT crowd. You get that gimmick up to the main roster, and I fear that it is dead in the water. Because most of the people that are watching are going to go, we've already seen this. The other half are going to go, well, what is this shit?
They're going to go, who's Alexa Jr.?
Right. Yeah. Right. So if she's going to thrive on the main roster, there's got to be a gimmick change, maybe even a complete gimmick overhaul, and give her something else to do. Now, I think she's capable of pulling it off. I think she's uber entertaining. I think she's uber talented. She's really run with this. And again, she's one of those people who got stuck in a shit situation because she was with the aforementioned Gigi Dolan and Shotzi Blackheart in that little trifecta there. And then they were gone overnight and she was left flapping in the wind. And she has thrived. She really has, but she's thrived in NXT. And again, I hate to, it shouldn't be this way, but it is. They are two different animals.
But the whole, I would say at some points in her favor, she's done some like full on acting segment, like promo.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think
not everybody gets that kind of experience, like just depending on what their storylines are. You don't get that full, but her thing with the culling and everything was a full blown like play. And so and she was awesome, by the way. That should not be lost. Like, she was, like, right there with people with Ty Dillinger. Like, guys who have been doing this for a long, 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 long time. Like,
and she's got him to mentor her. Like,
exactly. This doesn't go fine.
We don't mention this much because we always jokingly refer to him as 10 guy. What a hell of a mentor that guy's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a guy who's seen it all. He's been there. He's done there. He's worked for AEW. He's been everywhere. He's a seasoned veteran. What a hell of a tree to sit under and learn from.
Yeah. Team's going to be fine.
Yeah. Who's next, Rob?
The last one Ethan Page.
But I mean, he can go up and be a mid-carder tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, he's already... frankly, he could go up and be a main eventer tomorrow. Like, because he's had a wide experience in, you know, AEW. So, like, he knows how to work on TV. He's already shown that. He's already a standout, like, excellent star in NXT. So, like, it's just, at that point, again, it's all about, you know, there's two world championships. You know, it's all about the permutations of the roster and how things are laid out when he gets up. And depends on the booking. But, yeah, is there a universe where he's a world champion? Sure. I could see him being a world heavyweight champion or possibly even a WWE champion. I think for the foreseeable future, the WWE championship is going to go to the tippy top of the tippy top of the tippy top, but maybe not. So, yeah. And then worst case scenario, absolutely lost in the mid-card shuffle if he went up tomorrow.
Okay. So I think definitely mid-card champion. I think definitely. And putting him and Chelsea on together on the main roster is a no-brainer.
Yeah. That's money. That's a license to print money right there, man.
Yeah. So I
just think, have them be snarky assholes every single week on television.
Yes. and so I think he's definitely going to win mid-card title somewhere along the way for sure. And look, I mean, I think he'd be a great multi-time U.S. or Intercontinental champion. Putting him in Chelsea on day one is no brainer. I think he'll be fine regardless. I don't think we have to worry about him ending up on the list.
I wouldn't even say like worst case scenario they end up on the list.
I think the closest we got is five years from now when the whole
landscape has changed. We have no idea, but. No, not right now. Yeah,
no, the closest we got was JC and Fallon, and we didn't even really call for them.
And no way, I don't even think that's worst case scenario for them.
Yeah. So me, Ethan Page, I am going to go just slightly higher than both of you. I think this guy has the potential to land in a spot similar to The Miz.
Yeah.
I get the same vibes from him that I get from The Miz. Excellent talent. I'm a huge fan. Looking at what the WWE audience at large likes, he is a guy that you can absolutely once in a while go out there and have one of those, what the fuck? He won the World Heavyweight Championship. You can have one of those moments with Ethan Page. You can do that on a Backlash or something like that.
Ethan Page, Mr. Money in the Bank.
I was 100%. 100%.
He's a perfect.
And reason. Let him hold that thing for 8 friggin' months.
He would eat that up.
Yes, he would be a perfect. And imagine him and Chelsea both having the briefcases.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Inject it into my veins. I love it. I love that booking, Rob.
Beautiful.
All right.
So that is all because, like, for right now, I mean, if we're looking at people who are likely to be called up in the next year, other than the obvious, again, we don't need tricking over our obvious, but these are the people who look like they're going to be called to actually get called up in the next year.
I just had a vision of in like 4 years or 2 years, maybe Money in the Bank, you know, Javon gets up on this gigantic ladder, does a 450 billion splash through all four other competitors. Ethan Page somehow ends up unscathed, scampters his ass up the ladder. Yeah, it's written. It's written.
Yeah. All right, Rob, that was a lot of fun, man. Thank you for coming up with that idea. I hope the listeners had fun with it, and I hope that maybe a lot of them weren't sitting there screaming at their tablet, phone, computer, whatever you listen to us on. I hope you were not screaming at it. I hope you enjoyed this segment as much as we did.
Well, if you didn't like it, you know, take all your complaints to Ray Cash. It's Ray Cash.
Okay. Oh, my God. He is so going to be pissed about that. That's great. I love it. Getting heat with Ray Cash. I love it. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. I am going to go back around the room and thank my co-host like I do each and every week. Rob, sir, great idea. Great fun episode tonight. Good energy.
Thank you.
And Jason, sir, another good week. A lot of fun. Thank you again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here with my friends.
And you, the listener, again, we always thank you. Another great year of podcasting. 2025 has been a lot of fun. We're looking forward to 2026. Again, you've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.